Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Nearly half a century ago, Truman Capote's In Cold Blood detailed the savage murder of the Clutter family in Holcomb, Kansas. That book is regarded as a literary landmark, the first so-called nonfiction novel that brought the true crime genre to the mainstream and cemented Capote's celebrity status. When published in 1966, In Cold Blood was praised for its painstaking attention to detail. The book is still on high school reading lists and studied as narrative journalism. It's inspired three films, and among them Capote in 2005, which earned a Best Actor Oscar for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation, KBI.
But we're not looking for any inside information. I don't care if you catch whoever did this.
I care.
Documents that have recently come to light that cast doubts on Capote's narrative and depiction of key characters. The son of a deceased detective from the Kansas Bureau of Investigation is in a legal battle with that agency over papers saved by his father. Documents which show favoritism by and for Capote and reveal significant holes in the book's portrayal of the investigation. Joining us is Kevin Heliker, a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer and senior editor at The Wall Street Journal. He reported on the story. And, Kevin, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Virginia.
Remind us of why In Cold Blood is so important to American nonfiction.
It became an iconic book. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to explain. Certainly, the people in Kansas who cooperated with Truman Capote back in 1959 and the early 60s had no idea that I don't think anyone, Capote himself, could have imagined that the book would still be spawning movies and fascination almost half a century later. But it was held at the time as the first nonfiction novel, and it was just incredibly well done. I mean, he did something that crime novelists never do, which is he told you at the very beginning who the killers were.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a whodunit. You knew from the beginning who did it. And yet it's incredibly suspenseful, and only at the end or toward the end do you find out sort of how they did it. That's really what the suspense is about, because you get to know the two killers so well before they're actually placed in the Clutter home that night of November 15, 1959, that you kind of wonder how they could have done it.
Well, now some of those facts of the whodunit are being challenged. Ron Nye is the son of a deceased KBI agent, Harold Nye. He is embroiled in litigation over case documents saved by his father. Now, those documents are some of the things that revealed to you what really went on in this case. First off, any sense of why Harold Nye saved those documents?
Everyone was so blown away by the success of the book that that several people involved or on the fringes of the story thought, well, hey, if this story is that valuable, I'll jump on the bandwagon and do it myself. So Harold and I brought these documents home with the idea that he would write his own story about In Cold Blood. And while he never did, it's worth noting that a former director of the KBI, a fellow named Larry Welch, just published a book last year called Beyond Cold Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it is his own. It's a profile of the KBI, profiling that case and several others that it did. But the success of In Cold Blood kind of created sort of a Hollywood fever,
right,
back in Kansas.
And there was a bit of a fever around Alvin Dewey. He's the KBI investigator at the center of In Cold Blood. How did Capote portray him? And what did those documents that Nye held onto reveal about their real-life relationship?
Well, those documents combined with letters of Capote's that are on file at the New York Public Library show that from the moment that Truman Capote and his sidekick, Harper Lee, arrived in Garden City, Kansas in late 1959, Alvin Dewey became their friend, mm-hmm. their main source, their sort of main source of entertainment. Mm-hmm. He had them over to drink. When you look, what's amazing when you look at these documents on file at the New York Public Library is the amount of attention that Truman and Harper Lee paid to the amount of drinking that they did at the Dewey House. And so Dewey made all sorts of information and access to people available to Truman. I mean, Dewey essentially made In Cold Blood possible.
And Capote, in turn, secured for Dewey's wife a very large consulting fee for the film version of the book. How about Dewey's former colleagues? What do they say about his integrity as an investigator?
The Harold Nye, there basically were four KBI investigators on the case, and Alvin Dewey was the chief by virtue of being stationed in Cold Blood and Garden City, uh-huh. where the county where the killings took place. Harold Nye really did most of the footwork, really did the best detective work, and he was always clear that, in his view, the book was fiction, but vague about exactly what. Mm. And when you look at the KBI documents, you can kind of understand why. Harold Nye was a very, very loyal KBI agent, and the only way for him to really tell the truth would have been to diminish the heroic portrait of the KBI that Truman Capote painted and In Cold Blood, and in particular the heroic portrait that he painted of Alvin Dewey.
I'm speaking with Kevin Hilliker. He's there, a senior editor at the Wall Street Journal, right there in the newsroom today. We're speaking about new questions regarding the factual accuracy of Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, which have come to light as a result of some newly revealed documents that are now at the center of litigation between the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, or KBI, and the son of a former detective. Well, let's talk about some of those big discrepancies that Nye's documents detail. In the book, a tip from prison inmate Floyd Wells leads to the immediate capture of Richard Hickok and Perry Smith, the two men who actually were eventually hanged. What did you discover in Nye's papers about the timing?
Well, as you say, in the book, Floyd Wells, who had worked at the Clutter Farm, comes forth on December the 4th, 19 days after the murders, and says that his former cellmate, Dick Hickok, committed the murders. He knows because he told Hickok about the killings, and Hickok had said that when he got out, I mean, he told Hickok about the Clutter Farm and how wealthy the Clutters were, and he reported to his warden that Hickok had vowed when he got out to rob and kill the Clutters along with his fellow ex-convict Perry Smith. Mm. So in the book, the warden immediately picks up the phone and calls the KBI. Alvin Dewey brings home the mug shots and rap sheets of these two guys that night and tells his wife Marie, you know, that this is it. And that very night, the KBI dispatches Harold Nye to the Hickok farm in eastern Kansas near Kansas City. And here you have a detective going alone at night to a house that the last known whereabouts really of either suspect, and knocking on the door. What the KBI documents show is that visit to the Hickok farm, which really was the first attempt mm-hmm. to find and arrest the suspects, did not happen for 5 days after Floyd Wells named Hickok and Smith as the killers.
Significant amount of time. Now, Dewey has said for his part many times that he didn't give Capote special treatment, but in a final interview before he died admitted the treatment of the people in the book did depend on whether Capote liked them. One he did not particularly seem to like, Dwayne West, is still alive. He was the prosecutor who ultimately won the convictions against Perry and Hickok. Now, what is his take on these revelations about the investigation?
Well, the amazing thing is that someone is still alive who was not only there as a witness, but was there as a participant. And at 81, Dwayne West is the former prosecutor who won convictions and death penalties, death sentences against Hickok and Smith, and he was in the sheriff's office that morning, where they met every morning after the killings to talk about strategy. And he has said, whenever anybody would listen, which was never, but he's just sort of said once or twice over the years, you know what, Dewey wasn't a hero. Dewey, in fact, when those names were read aloud that morning in the sheriff's office, Dewey said, "It ain't them."
Wow. What a literary turnaround, or what a depiction. And what is it? What's in it for the KBI to try and suppress these documents now from being published when they contain, you know, some big holes?
So Gary McAvoy is the owner of Vintage Memorabilia, a literary dealer in Seattle. And he has these documents on consignment from Ron Nye. And their argument is that the KBI is trying to suppress these documents because they do show an inconsistency between In Cold Blood and what really happened, and that inconsistency doesn't reflect well on the KBI.
I see. Kevin, this book has so long stood as a kind of forerunner of nonfiction and true crime as a literary masterpiece. Now, what do you think? Will these revelations cast doubt on the validity of In Cold Blood's places in the canon, or should it just be a question of, you know, not letting the facts get in the way of a good story?
You know, if Capote had done what the makers of Zero Dark Thirty and the makers of Argo had done, and say this is based on true events, I don't think there would be that this would represent any kind of literary scandal. But Capote said in an interview with George Plimpton in 1966 that the book was meticulously factual, mm-hmm. that you don't spend 6 years writing a piece of nonfiction and then play with the facts. So that sort of became a challenge that a lot of journalists over the years have set out or to debunk. And I think this is by far the biggest hole yet discovered in the book, but based on previous discoveries, I think it's kind of a Teflon book. I suspect, because it's such a tremendous read, that it will continue to be so. I think it will be harder for the KBI, which has, in many cases, over the years, sort of touted its performance in the Clutter case. It will be harder for it to do that.
Well, a really impressive investigation. Kevin, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I very much enjoyed it, Virginia.
Kevin Hilliker, a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer and senior editor at The Wall Street Journal, and you can find a link to his investigative piece, including a number of interactive features on the case. It's fascinating, including some of the original documents from the Clutter family murder case. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. Do these revelations about In Cold Blood change your feelings about the book? Should it still stand as a literary staple, whether fiction or not? You can join the conversation happening right now on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. And coming up, one of our own skates with a homegrown cast member of Disney on Ice. Hard-hitting news. We'll stay on our feet for that when the Word of Mouth continues.